Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find inside me.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Crusader Talk. My name is Caleb Hamill, joined by Josh West. Dalton Stanford behind the board with us here in our Super Talk Hattiesburg studio as we get to talk more and more and more William Carey Athletics here on this Monday. Glad you're with us as we continue on into this crossover time of year as we are right in the finishing moments of the regular season of basketball, on the cusp of the start to conference play in baseball and softball. Can you believe it? We're literally just 1 or 2 weeks under our belt and we're already talking about conference play. Because literally, baseball's about to play Abraham Baldwin this weekend.
Two weekends
and we're already there.
It's insane. And the fact that we're going to be, you know, I remember last year it was you in Montgomery. I'm headed to Montgomery in a little over a week, it feels like. I mean, the 26th is going to be here before we know it.
It is. And you know, we can go ahead and start off the top of the show just to make the news drop here. If people weren't tuned into your broadcast the other night or haven't been on social media platforms, but women's basketball has secured the conference regular season title in women's basketball. I mean, incredible to, with three games still left in the regular season, already have it locked up. No coin flips, no, you know, deciding final game of the regular season where you're looking at other games across the league. No, you know right now that you're the number one.
Yeah, great for the team, bad for ratings, right? So you love the coin flip. You love keeping it. You love the drama.
I'm a fan of drama. What can I say?
You are. But no, a lot to talk about before we get there, though, because we've got softball that's off to a good start.
Yeah, really good start. You know, what's the record for women's basketball right now? Is it 14-0, 15-0?
22-0.
Coach Fletcher of William Carey Softball joins us. Coach, you're already 5-0. May as well match Coach English and go with his record that he has right now, right?
That would be nice.
He'll take it right now.
All right, Coach, first of all, thanks for joining us here on this busy Monday evening, I'm sure, for you. As Josh and I were talking about it last week, this team has a couple veterans that come back. You had a lot of holes to fill of girls that have graduated and moved on. One mainstay that has stuck around is Ryan Hornsby, and through five games of work, she pitched in some of those, team off to a 5-0 start. What's the need to know about this William Carey team, and how different is it from last year or even a couple years gone by?
Certainly a lot of new faces, as you said. We had 11 girls new this year, lost six starters from last year, and those starters, most of them played since they were freshmen. So it's definitely a new look. Excited about it. You know, had some holes to fill so far. Things are going good. We go on the road and win five like we did is a great way to start. Very proud of the young ladies and what they did. You mentioned in Ryan Hornsby. Ryan was just Ryan again through three starts, 3-0 already. Did a great job on the mound. You know, a busy weekend, five games in 3 days. Just proud of the way that they hung in there. We got behind in a couple of games, and they just stayed the course. They were resilient and able to work back and win. So a lot of good things happened, a lot of things that we need to do better. But after what we did with 5-0, I'm very excited.
Coach Fletcher, this is Josh West, and man, excited to be back out at the field on Friday. Triple header in the Carey Invitational on Friday, and so I couldn't be more excited about that. And, you know, we talked about it with this fall being so successful with 9 wins in the fall, but a team batting average of only .261, there was a question mark as to what this lineup would look like, how this team would manufacture runs and score runs, not quite the speed of a year ago. But I think you and I both felt like that this team, if they can get timely hits, was going to be the key to this group, and so far, so good through the first week of the year.
true. We did struggle a little bit in the fall, and like I said, with all the new girls coming in, trying to just get comfortable and feel their way around. We had a good early spring, and you know, we did struggle at times this weekend. But like you just said, we had some great timely hitting. We had Julia Shaw and Albany Fusell came through very big in several key situations. So that's, you know, right now that's what it may take. We need to have good pitching and play good defense and keep games close. And then when the opportunities come up, we've got to have folks step up. And that's what we did this weekend.
Yeah, I want to focus on, you know, one of those that you just pointed out, Julia Shaw, as she finishes off the opening weekend with a above 500 average, 556 now after five complete games. And this is a player you picked up out of Hernando. I believe she transferred in from, was it ICC? I'm trying to remember the community college.
Uh-huh. But, right.
Yep. But with that, it really helps will your team on to victory, especially in that big come from behind win against Texas A&M Texarkana. And she scored the double to center field to tie it, to score Lily Robertson, and then also the game-winning walk-off hit as y'all win 4-3 in that bottom of the seventh inning. What is it about her experience that she's brought to the table to allow her to make a really big splash here starting off her Cary career?
Well, believe it or not, we brought her in here to pitch. That's what she did mainly in junior college. And I had one of my freshmen, I had back surgery, and we moved Julia to first in the fall, and she has really stepped up, swinging the bat well. So it's really been a godsend for her to come out swinging the bat like she did. But she stepped up in all five games, and then two of those really came through big and all. Had a fantastic weekend going 10 for 18 in the homer, a couple of doubles, and then just some huge RBIs. So great weekend for her, and just excited about what she did. Like I said, really only expecting her to pitch mainly, but really fortunate to have her playing first base.
Coach Josh again, one of the things that I mentioned about being so excited for Friday, one of the things I want to make sure we get in to talk about is the schedule this weekend, some of the matchups this weekend, but also potential contingency plans. I don't know. It looks like maybe the weather could hold off till later in the evening, scheduled for a 12-2-4 start on Saturday. We just got a couple of minutes left. Talk about some of the matchups this weekend and about the possibility of maybe looking to need to maybe scoot things up on Saturday.
Definitely. We've already talked a little bit today. I talked with both coaches, coach from Georgetown and coach from Stillman. They just said they're willing to do whatever it takes. So we'll certainly put first things first Friday. Both of them have good teams. Georgetown came in here a couple of years ago and split with us. Stillman gave us trouble every time we played last year, last game of the regular season, run down to the wire for us to win it in the seventh, and then they played us tough in the conference tournament, so we know what they'll bring. But hopefully we can get Friday in, and then we've talked a little bit about possibility of moving Saturday up maybe an hour, maybe even two, to try to get all three, or at least to get two out of the three in. We hope the weather will hold back, but you know, we'll just take it one game at a time.
Coach, as we kind of wrap up this segment, one of the other things that is new about this season is that you have a little bit of a change in your coaching staff as you add Hannah Moak Brister to the mix. What has her role been so far with the program in helping start this William Cary program off to a 5-0 start?
Wonderful young Christian lady. Excited to have Hannah back. Pitched for us for 4 years. Really gritty. Brings a lot of energy. Being a, you know, a young 28-year-old female coach, gets along with the kids really well. Being a pitcher here, already having Coach Bond, they've kind of put their heads together a little bit with some pitching. But Hannah has mainly come in helping me with hitting and then infield and outfield. We all three do those type things, but she has just really come in and embraced, you know, her role. The kids have embraced her, and it's going really well so far. So I'm excited to see how the year plays out, and you know, I know Hannah will play a big role in that.
Well, Coach, we look forward to seeing what this softball program can get to do this season, as you already had a really good crew last year that made it almost to the final site. Just a tough Jessup team in front of you there, right there at the end. Hopefully this Cary team can break through that ceiling and break on up through the final site and make it deep in there as well, as they're off to a pretty good start here in 2025. Coach, we'll let you go for now, and we look forward to hearing from you later on in this season as the successes continue.
Thanks very much, guys.
All right, that is head coach Craig Fletcher of William Cary Softball. Josh, we kind of joked about it either last week or the week before, just so much winning. And how much, just 5-0 to start any kind of, you know, softball or baseball season is impressive. William Cary baseball off to a decent start as well, just one loss each in the first two weekends ahead of their first conference weekend coming up against Abraham Baldwin. And so, and with that, paired with women's basketball and the decent success of men's basketball right now, it is a fun time to be a Crusader.
Yeah, RPI for men's basketball, by the way, up to 28th. It went up.
Hey, there you go. And we'll talk a little bit more about basketball when we continue, as we need to talk a little bit more and give the credit and time due to women's basketball and this outstanding achievement of already securing the SSAC number one seed and an automatic berth to the NAIA tournament. That and more coming up as Crusader Talk continues.
You're tuned in to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
And we continue here on Crusader Talk. Glad we had Coach Fletcher join us in that first segment. We missed the preview to the season. Honestly, I think I liked it better to get to recap a 5-0 start to the year. That's a little bit more thrilling.
He was just sandbagging on us.
Hey, it's so waiting. Casual, too. He's just like, hey, yeah, that's how we started the year. Hope to continue winning.
Well, he knows what's coming up. He knows they've got a lot of competitive games. And
they do. And this is not your mama's Stillman team either that's coming to town.
No.
Compared to the last few years. You know, we had – I remember every time I bring up Stillman softball, I think about Haley Nations doing a no-hitter against them. And then the last few years have been competitive games.
Stillman, okay. So Stillman goes to the HBCU AC, and I feel like that's a loss in so many areas for the Southern States Athletic Conference. I miss them. Hate to see them go. So glad we get to play them in non-conference. So that's a win. But when they were leaving last year, it's like, y'all are going over there to dominate, right? I mean, you just felt like across the board that they could go in day one and run that league just because of the recent success that they had and how competitive they were in the Southern States Athletic Conference. And they have done exactly that. I don't know if you saw this basketball score. Taking a little detour here. This was two weekends ago. It was halftime, and the score comes across the computer screen, and I've got the different box scores open, the split boxes and all from the stat monitors from the different arenas. 40-8 Stillman over Mobile at the half.
Ooh.
In women's basketball, and we literally didn't know if it was a typo. Yeah, you know, I had Bruce, right, and others coming up to me going, hey, was that, you said the score was this. Did you read that right? And I said, well, I thought I did. And I had to go back and relook in the play-by-play. And no, I was right. Because now Mobile did come out of the locker room and cut it to like 12, but then ended up losing by maybe, you know, 15. But
yeah, because they probably started pulling people from the stand saying, you got eligibility? Come on.
But Stillman women's basketball was such a quality quad one win for Coach English's squad, which is a great way to segue into where we're going. They caught them game one on a neutral floor. If you play that game now, Cary's got their hands full. And that's a tournament team in Stillman. And Stillman, just the way they play, how athletic they are, how they press, their overall team speed and length has always been an issue. Very much like a Tennessee Southern, the way Tennessee Southern presses and just how many players they play and how high their motor runs. Cary kind of tries to impose their will, more of a half court, more of a kind of take their time, be a little more methodical as to what they do, but you can't help but speed up a little bit. And that's exactly what it plays into their hands when you try to speed up at all. So that was a good win for Cary against Tennessee Southern over the weekend. Obviously, going back to that season opener against Stillman, we didn't know how good it was at the time, but it was really, really good.
Yeah, and good to get that win on that end of the result, too, just because, I mean, in a game like that, so early on in the season, trying to figure things out, you never know how it can go, and that follows you, regardless of, you know, how green everyone was early on in the year. It counts the same when you look at the end of the season, you see RPI. Stillman's a good team.
Speaking of RPI.
Yeah.
Can we go there?
Sure. Let's go there.
RPI came out today. We'll talk men's basketball a little bit out in front of us. But men's basketball split last week. They moved up two spots. They pick up a top 25 RPI win on the road in Jackson against a very good Tougaloo team who's leading their division in the HBCUAC with an 11-3 record. And then they come home and they lose to a very, very good Tennessee Southern team. Tennessee Southern probably has, in Zayden Cross, a 6'7 wing player, probably the best player in the league. So he has come in. First game was December 21st. 12 games. He has gone for 20 or more in 8 of those 12 games. And he had 28 against Cary on Saturday. But despite all that, Cary moves up from 30th to 28th in the RPI. So Cary has been on a steady rise in the polls. Mobile is up now to 19th in the RPI. So Cary's next conference game will be against, and next NAI game, the next game that will count for the RPI, will be at home on Hunting the Rams night. We'll get to that later.
We got a couple themes coming up.
Yeah, got a good one. Got a good one coming up. And so that's going to be Hunting the Rams night, and that's going to be on Thursday night, February 20th. So Cary's going to be poised to have a great opportunity at home on the 20th, and then in a game they really need to go win down in Loyola at the Den, and it's going to be very difficult against a very capable Loyola team. But a Cary team that gets a game in which they'll be a heavily favored tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, single game, men's only, non-conference against Southeast Baptist, and then the ladies play on Saturday against Talladega. So that's where we go now with the Talladega talk. And this is going to be interesting. So I text Ben Smith, our associate athletic director. I said, give me the rundown for what is going on Saturday. So it will be Tracy English Day, if you will, honoring Tracy's 35 years as a head coach. They will honor him after the game against Talladega. They're also going to have the 24-25 this year, the undefeated at the moment, knock on wood, to honor Coach English for his superstition. The Crusaders will be signing team pictures commemorating the 24-25 regular season championship. So what a great opportunity to be able to take picture after the game with your favorite Crusader. Get something for the wall, get something for the refrigerator, get something that you can put in a frame and put up on your bookshelf or put up in your bedroom if you're a young Crusader fan out there. But a great opportunity to have a great, great crowd to honor this team. This is a really good basketball team.
It is.
And they're not peaking too early, and they have that mentality. Maybe they've been out to some soccer matches and they saw how women's soccer handles their business and doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low, doesn't celebrate things too early in the season. They always have the game face. They're always just going about their business. Even after they found out that Blue Mountain helped them out and knocked off Mobile in overtime, after Mobile, by the way, Caleb hit a buzzer beater three to force overtime. They were happy. They were excited about that, but they didn't. It was just, hey, that's another box to check in terms of goals this year. I think they're still irritated, honestly, about the tournament last year.
Yeah,
certainly about the way the season ended at Campbellsville. That still doesn't sit well.
So Campbellsville still sits number one in RPI.
Still sits number one. Yep, and I promise you, Cary won't end up at Campbellsville in the regional because the Campbellsville coach won't let that happen. She was so irritated that Cary was an 8 seed at her place last year. She's like, what are you talking about? Like, this team's a top, 20 team, but Cary came in underrated. I'm just hoping Cary does get a top 16 seed so that they're a 1 seed at whoever, whatever host site is in our region, if you will. Am I making sense there? Am I explaining that correctly?
Yeah, I think you are. I think a candidate that may end up hosting Cary, and this is the too early, you know, talk right now, but just looking at RPI standings right now, Xavier, Louisiana is the 16th seed as far as, you know, 16th in RPI. If they put in to be a host, that's a possible destination being nearby.
That would be huge.
Yeah, just to go down to New Orleans and play. Now, granted, the Convocation Center is a tough place to play. Been down there. It's a rough environment. But it is a fun destination and a close-by destination for all the Cary fans that want to go down there, if that's where they end up. Everywhere else in the top, you know, say 20 or so, the next best place you can end up, just from a location standpoint of driving distance, looking at Bethel, Tennessee, or Cumberland, Kentucky, or Freed-Hardeman, Kentucky, or Tennessee, I mean, but Freed-Hardeman is the number two, and I would have my doubts of Cary being sent to the number two spot. Elsewhere, LSU Shreveport could sneak in to be in one of those host spots if they've put in to host, and that's the big question mark. You know, if Cary hasn't put in to host, who else did not?
Who historically has had a vetted venue? Because Clinton Gymnasium is not a vetted venue.
I would believe, judging off what I remember from the Convocation Center, I think it is one of them. I think it had all the bells and whistles and all of the added things they needed. Parking and hotels in New Orleans. You can stay anywhere in New Orleans.
Well, and because New Orleans is such a just a great, obviously, hello, Super Bowl, a great venue to have a big event, for all the reasons you just mentioned, could you see a team that's a three seed potentially host in an environment like that? Could you see a Florida team? Could you see a team that's in the, you know, mid-30s RPI, low-30s RPI, be a three seed host and have two higher seeds at their venue?
Who knows? And Loyola was a host last year, by the way. So we already know that they like New Orleans as a locale, just a matter of the venue itself. But knowing Loyola and the den that's up there, it's just one side chairback bleachers with a walking track that you set up your table on to broadcast.
But see, Mobile's good enough to host, but not as a number one seed, but they're not going to send Cary there.
That's true. And the other thing is Loyola did have a really good video crew, so they have replayability, which I think is now a responsibility of the host venue to provide for review sake. More to come as we continue the conversation. We'll break open baseball and maybe finish up a little bit more of this conversation about basketball when we continue next in the long segment as we continue on Crusader Talk here on this Monday. Stay with us.
Talking everything William Cary University Athletics. This is Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
You know, you alluded to it a while ago that I'm a fan of the dramatics of sports and all that.
Oh, yes.
I never got to hear your retelling of finding out that Cary had won the outright championship. Because I went back and listened to a little bit of your conversation with Coach English postgame, and y'all were kind of peeking over there at the live stats as they were updating and all. So walk us through a little bit of, first, the end of the game against UT Southern and the cliffhanger you were left with Coach English before he came back at halftime.
So we're sitting there in the broadcast, and at one point, Blue Mountain's up a dozen. You know, we're up like 20, and our lead evaporates, and their lead evaporates, and then we build ours back. Well, Blue Mountain never does, but Blue Mountain's leading late. And so literally, you know, I'm trying to set it up here at the table. Hey, Mike, hey, guys, you know, hey, we'll need to double check, make sure we can announce this. Like, hey, when our game goes final, if this game holds, we need to announce, ladies and gentlemen, the, you know, Lady Crusaders are the regular season champions, and with it, you know, the berth into the national tournament. Well, wouldn't you know, they hit a buzzer beater three, essentially. They go back and
those
add,
darn Rams.
They go back and add 2 seconds onto the monitor online. And so I believe perhaps maybe Blue Mountain got the ball with 2 seconds left. I don't even know if they got off a shot. But we go to overtime, and Blue Mountain never really trailed in overtime. and then held them off to win it in overtime. Even after the postgame interview, it lingered and lingered and lingered. And so when that was a final, when it went final, I, you know, immediately, you know, yelled down to Key. Goes, wait, what do you mean, Josh? I thought you said they won. I said, no, they forced overtime. Oh, I thought you said they won. No. And so I said, so we can announce it? He's like, yeah. So the PA guy, I said, here's what you need to announce. And he was like, ladies and gentlemen, can I have your attention? Well, literally 2/3 of the crowd had already dispersed or whatever to go and grab snacks or whatever. And so the crowds were kind of changing over from the ladies' crowd to the men's crowd. But nevertheless, they got their announcement, and that was a neat moment. And obviously, Coach English was super excited.
Coach Gehrig wanted to cut down the nets. Isn't that right?
That I did not hear that.
I heard somebody acting like she wanted to go ahead and cut down the nets right then and there. We have a guys' game we have to play here. It takes a little time to put some more up.
You know, my thing was too. You know, this morning, you know, when I called Ben, I said, "Hey, we got a ladies' team to celebrate." You know, as this thing grows, Ben and Tracy and Ben Burnett, so Ben Smith and Ben Burnett are so committed to building the brand that is William Carey. Not just William Carey Athletics, William Carey. It is a unfortunately well-kept secret, but it's not going to be kept that way for very much longer. And so with that said, one of the things you do is kind of like what we're doing on Saturday is you honor that team. You put it out on social media. You tell fans to come out, meet your favorite player, take pictures, get an autograph, get a piece of, you know, commemorative artwork, if you will, get an autographed team picture with the graphic of the regular season champions, and certainly create a memory for the players. Right, there could be potential former Crusaders that are in attendance at that game. We won't know that for a while, but there could be somebody in the stands on Saturday that attends that game that years from now is a Crusader and remembers, hey, I was at the when you honored the regular season champion, and I've still got the autographed picture of the team when I was. Well, you hear those stories that you pick, you know, insert blank your favorite Division I school. You hear those stories. You and I have those stories of fandom. Well, to create a fan base, you do things like that. And so I think that Carey is going to certainly continue to fill a niche for fans that love that kind of basketball and just the family atmosphere that Carey is. And the family is growing every day.
And Coach English, players, you plug your ears for what I'm about to, you know, phrase here. Can you imagine how much that would be worth if William Carey women's basketball won it all? To have a photo signed by the entire team, the first time Carey ever won the national championship?
Well, I mean, I think as broadcasters, it's our job to dream, if you will, or not shy away for superstition's sake. That's not on the players' radar. Tracy and the players have not talked record. They've not talked wins and losses at all this year. It's been about the process of getting better as this season has gone on, to be peaking at the right time, to be continuing to play their best as they get towards the postseason. And I think we saw great examples of it this past week. Carey was down 13 in the second quarter at Tougaloo against a very capable Tougaloo team, a Tougaloo team who added two players. One came back from injury, who is now their leading scorer. The other player, who was a graduate student, so a veteran player who was able to get her paperwork as a current student worked out. It takes a while to get that through the clearinghouse, if you will. So two new players, a very good Tougaloo team, and Carey was down 13, basically a 20-point turnaround in that game to win that game late. And then fast forward to Saturday, up big, Tennessee Southern goes just frantic to try to get back in the game. It worked. Carey finishes the game. Get this. 27 turnovers in the game. And they win by 20. I said, Coach, have you ever been a part of a game where you turned it over 27 times and you won by 20? He's like, never. Never. Just, I mean, so.
It doesn't happen.
I need to start keeping up with the times this year where I'm like, have you ever? Nope. Have you? Not. Nah, never. What about? Nope. this
uncharted
team,
waters.
It really is. And so I asked Kevin Rosary before the podcast tonight, before the show tonight. I said, Kevin, we're in completely uncharted territory, right? He said, oh, I mean, you got to go back to the 90s, and I'd have to go back and look, but I think they lost the season opener, and then they won 11 or 12, and then lost another one, and then won 10 in a row, and before they lost to end the year. This is completely uncharted territory, yet for this team, because of what last year was, this year's team, it feels like a continuation of last year. So although they're doing things that have never been done, it's not foreign to them. This team just knows winning. They just expect to win. And this, you know, this started kind of during the pandemic with that really good team, and the season gets cut short. It's been building since then. The roster's gotten better and better and better and more depth and more depth. There have been multiple games this year where all 15 or all 16 players that have dressed have played and contributed in wins. So the camaraderie is second to none. Second to, you know, there's nothing that it is running a second to in terms of in the history of the program. And it's a team that people are jumping on the bandwagon. People are figuring it out. The crowds grow every game. And I think we're going to see that Thursday, the 20th. Now, of course, Trace English Day this Saturday. Please be there. Please, you know, make plans to stay a little while after the game and be around this team and get to know them a little bit. But then that game Thursday against Mobile, I've heard about the standing room only crowds for Mobile games, and it's been a minute since we've had those in Clinton Gym, and hopefully we'll have another one again on the 20th.
Yeah, hopefully so. And talking about a team with unfinished business like women's basketball trying to move on and have a continuation, I feel like baseball is on a similar path right now, at least with the guys that have returned from last year to this year.
Indeed.
And I think that message has been portrayed to the new guys as well. And so far, so good, with a couple bumps here and there, but some things that are being figured out as we speak. But all in all, William Carey over the weekend in baseball, they go 3-1, which is the best of any team that came into town that weekend. Missouri Baptist also went 3-1, and Campbellsville, unfortunately for them, went 0-4. But man, not without some fight in them. I don't know if you paid attention to some of these games, but they caused Missouri Baptist to have to come back twice in their meetings in order to get those wins. And then Carey, in the final game of the weekend playing Campbellsville, had to tie it up in the seventh, which was going to be the final inning, tied it up in the seventh as Bridley Thomas scored on a throwing error. Could have been batted in later, but then walk it off with newcomer Jaden Mark at the very end. And all of a sudden, you look up and say, okay, pretty good weekend. You stumble with that one loss to Missouri Baptist, but all in all, I think this team is starting to gel. They're starting to figure out each other, and I think once the right pieces are put in the right order, there's still some lingering pieces to put into the lineup, whether it be on the pitching side of guys kind of coming off of injury, or you know, some other things that are being dealt with medical related for some guys in the batting order. Once those all come together, I really think that this team is overall batting better for this time of year compared to last year's team. Yeah, all things considered, without an R.J. Stinson. And pitching-wise, the top two in Andrew Shira and Matthew Davis, terrific starters. I'd call them 1A and 1B. And it's just that third-game starter that is a question mark right now. Trying to get Mason Smith back. He's had some pain. He's a possibility. Right now, Josh McCord, who started the third game in both weekends, has had a quick falling off. Last week it was inning number 5. This week it was inning number 3. And you hate it for him because he's pitched so well up until the moment where it all of a sudden just stops working. It's crazy. It's like a car where you put an unknown amount of gas in it and your gauge doesn't work. And you're driving down the road and then all of a sudden it just drops. And that's not a knock on him. That's just what we've witnessed so far. And I think it's all mental, because physically the velocity's still there. You know, the location is struggling at times for him. He may get it back later in the season, but I think he's going to see a job as a reliever moving forward. But Connor Wilson, he's a possibility. He was the fourth game starter when he faced Campbellsville in that 3-2 win for Carey, and you know, played fairly well. I think he exited in the fifth inning of that one, And, you know, it was an odd day. Josh, have you ever been to a ballpark where you saw an umpire behind home plate just make an unfortunate impact on a game?
Oh, certainly.
Yeah.
Certainly.
That was one of those. You know, we're both blessed and cursed to have TrackMan in the booth for college baseball now. That was probably the least consistent of the umpires we had over the weekend. He was calling fastballs a good distance off the plate. Here's the breakdown of how it affected the game entirely for Kerry. This is kind of off the pitching for us standpoint. Kerry batter struck out 15 times to Campbell's with pitching, whereas Kerry, they got 11 strikeouts, but the key moments, it always happened against William Kerry. There were always just these strike three calls, strikeout looking here, strikeout looking there. But they overcame, and they were able to get it done. So with some things and some shuffling in the lineup, I think that is going to come. You're going to see William Kerry start to blossom. And they come back. Game rained out Tuesday. Coming up this week, they'll have a weekend series with new conference opponent Abraham Baldwin. We'll tell you a little bit more about that matchup coming up and a wrap-up of the week when we continue. Crusader Talk wraps up next.
From the coaches to the student athletes and the fans that cheer them on, you're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, wrapping it up with you here on Crusader Talk as William Kerry had a little bit of success all the way around. 5-0 weekend for softball, a successful week for women's basketball as they secure a number one seed in the conference and get that automatic berth. Guys split on the basketball side, going 1-1, and on baseball they go 3-1 on the weekend. Also over the weekend, you had swimming over in their first ever conference tournament. A little golf clap for swimming as, hey, big kudos. By the way, we had Coach Robert Gonzalez on last episode just to preview the conference tournament and what he wanted his guys and girls to achieve.
Caleb, do you mean Coach of the Year? Robert Gonzalez?
Absolutely. I mean, Coach of the Year, the son, Robert Gonzalez. Hey, big pickup over the weekend as well.
Well deserved, by the way.
Very much so. I mean, establishing any program is going to be a tough thing. And to see what he and his group of girls and guys have been able to do has been fantastic to witness. There were all types of events they competed in, ended up finishing fourth overall out of 9 teams in the Sun, which to finish top half in your program's inaugural season is pretty special.
That it says why he was Coach of the Year. And, you know, we were excited to hear his enthusiasm in the preseason, if you will, and for the rest of the league to acknowledge that and to see what we see and to kind of feel the momentum that we feel with that sport. I mean, that says a lot. I mean, we could get accused of hyping things. You don't have to hype things at William Kerry. I think a lot of times, in some senses, we're trying to downplay some things because, like in Coach English's case, right? Hey, let's not get too excited. We still got more to do. But no, in all seriousness, congrats, Coach, to you and your team, because very well deserved. And I think they're going to establish themselves quickly with moving that program to the coast and where they're going to compete and how beautiful the Mississippi Gulf Coast is. They're going to be a juggernaut.
Yeah, just looking back at some of these results, the men's 800 free relay, they finished second in the conference. You also had Matei finish first in the 500 free. That was on day one. Had a couple top finishes for some of the day two events as well for the individuals. And overall, this is a release that Coach Gonzalez had on his Facebook, paired with an article that Kerry wrote for the swim meet over there in the Sun Conference. He says, "We look forward to continue our season and anxiously await selection day next week. We have enjoyed a solid inaugural season. Look forward to adding continued high-quality students for years to come. Most importantly, our swimmers are getting faster and developing while enjoying one another and establishing a competitive culture. Every swimmer scored and contributed to our team's final efforts. Whether it's D1, D2, NAIA, or anywhere in between, there is fast swimming out there. Don't miss out. Now on to Nationals."
Yeah, well said.
Yeah, well said indeed. trying to figure out where else to go with this show, Josh.
I want to go back, though, to when you talked about Abraham Baldwin this weekend.
Yes.
I want to go back to baseball this weekend. You mentioned Game 3 starter, still a question mark for baseball. I know Cary's baseball fans are super locked in. And so is this a weekend with what Cary's done in recent years, new kid on the block, is this the weekend that Cary's got to go on the road and give them a rude welcome, if you will? Is this the weekend that they've got to go win three, sweep on the road, and figure some things out this weekend?
Now, to the untrained eye, I think you would be absolutely right with what everybody's thinking right now. You know, a team that was a junior college a year ago to play SSAC baseball.
But they're historically really good, right?
They only have one loss on the year.
Okay, that's what I thought.
They are off to a fantastic start.
And I couldn't remember if it was them or there was one other school in Georgia that has made that jump that has historically been really, really good in baseball.
Yeah, as far as this baseball team, they got their first win of the year against Point. That was on Saturday of last week, or two Saturdays ago, I should say. A 4-1 win over Point in a game in which they hosted. And they are currently sitting at 5-1. They were able to sweep Spartanburg Methodist College in those three games over this past weekend. One of those an extra innings affair, another one a run rule. That was, oddly enough, on the third game that they were able to run rule Spartanburg 13-3. And they have a midweek against Middle Georgia State, non-conference meeting. They do have a couple teams within, you know, okay driving distance that they'll play midweek that are also conference foes. I mentioned Point earlier. They'll play Middle Georgia State. They'll also play Thomas in the midweek later on. But all that said, this is a couple of games where Cary's really got to figure things out early. I mean, it's kind of sink or swim at this point right now in the season. I think they're in good hands with Andrew Shira and Matthew Davis, as I pointed out. It's that third game, as you pointed out, that they really need to try to figure out how they're going to deal with it. And honestly, looking at the schedule now, knowing what we know from the weekend, it's a blessing in disguise to have their Talladega game that was scheduled for Tuesday rained out and rescheduled to April, because I don't know who was going to pitch that one.
Well, and I think Abraham Baldwin as an athletic department in the very near future is going to be another one of those great Georgia pickups for this league in the southern states, because we saw that men's basketball. Men's basketball came over, had a lead on Cary late second half. So watch out for the Stallions.
All right. And don't forget, men's basketball plays tomorrow night at 7 p.m. That's Tuesday. Cheer will have their first ever competition in the Ram Showdown on February 13th. Whole lot of softball and baseball this weekend as well. Check it all out online at CaryAthletics.com. That's another podcast in the book. For everyone making it possible, Dalton Stanford, my co-host Josh West, I'm Caleb Hamill. Till next time, good night, God bless, and go Saters.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.